Welcome to Shield Maidens of Missouri. I am Stacy Shore with my very good friend and sidekick, Lisa Bennett. And I have the bonus today of adding Sophia Shore to this podcast to talk about the recent election and what her thoughts are and where do we go from here. So, hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, Sophie.
Hey, Mom. How we doing?
Doing great. So many people have asked me, messaged me, want to hear from you, Sophie. But overall, with the election returns that we just saw come in, are you pleased overall? Like, what's your read on how things went? Are you happy with them? Like, where do we go from here? So we'll try to kind of keep this as brief as possible today, but a lot of people want to hear what your take is. So I'm going to give you the floor. So what were you pleased with the results that you got on Tuesday night?
You know, on Tuesday night, we had some really amazing wins and some really tough losses, as you both know, because I've talked to you guys about them and worked through those losses with you. But really proud of the four senators that we'll take with us from our clients of ours, and that's Jim Avery, Sam Alexander, Lori Rook, and Bill Hardwick. So really tough losing Dusty Blue and Ike Skelton. But, you know, I think we talked about this. Conservatives across the state are competing in a way that we've never competed before in elections. And that's something that I'm really proud of. I'm really proud of the team that we put together. I'm really grateful for all the support that you and Lisa showed those candidates. And just grateful overall for the Lord and how he provided. But we take four really great senators that I think are going to be champions for the people. Obviously, we knocked off Curtis Trent down in the Southwest, which he was supposed to be the floor leader of the Senate. And we actually had, it was a $2 million, he spent $2 million, it was actually closer to a $3 million race total when you include all the associations that spent money and the independent expenditures. So $3 million spent in the Southwest. I'll tell you this, all the school districts postponed, or several of them decided they were going to wait to send their back to school mail, because Curtis Trent was sending out so many anti-Lori Rook mailers in the mailbox. And so that was a huge win for us. I think we won by a little over 6 points. And I just want to give credit to my team. I mean, Lori Rook, she's a tough lady, and she sunk $350,000 of her own personal funds into that race. And so she was a gamer throughout it all and a trooper. Amanda Wiley, which was her campaign manager on the ground. I think I posted about this, but Amanda 5 weeks ago told me, I was in the car with her, and she said, you know, I thought you were sending me down to South Missouri to be a martyr, but I think we might win. And I was shocked she said that. I always thought we would win, but she was just amazing on the ground and really built an amazing culture. And my internal team contributed a lot to that. And so just really grateful for all the door knockers. You know, we had John Marshall, who's this 16-year-old brilliant kid who was amazing at the doors. I can't even tell you how many Curtis Trent people he would flip in a day, and Chloe Calhoun, and just a lot of amazing young people. So overall grateful, still kind of licking my wounds, if you will, on some of the losses. And I think I probably will be for 4 years, but really grateful overall for how things turned out.
It's fantastic. I also think to give a shout out to your team, because I became very close to your team that worked directly with you. Just young people with a vision. And when I say they're true believers, they were true believers in the cause of the United States. They're proud Americans. Because sometimes you hear a lot of rhetoric that we're losing our youth. Our youth are all, you know, corrupted from public schools. And what I saw was incredibly encouraging. The true love that you have for your country and your state, most importantly, it was mimicked in your team. So let's talk about your team just briefly, because I think they also deserve a shout out.
I love to talk about my team. Yeah, I was hoping you'd ask me about my team. I love my team so much. But Marcy Mitchell, she is a wonder of a girl. I was so lucky to, you know, last October, my mommy was with me. So I hope the listeners enjoy this, but I had taken on way too much, more than I could chew, which is very typical. And I kind of just wanted to have a little boutique Republican strategy firm. And I ended up just in the middle of all these races, and I had told myself after the governor's race, you know, you obviously live that with me too, running the like governor's race, and then try to take some time off after the general elections, because I had picked some other work up until then, but you know, I was super overwhelmed. I had too many things going and no idea how to build the company. And the Lord was just like, you need to hire somebody. And Marcy came along, and I told her, I said, I never have had an assistant or a full-time employee just for my business. Obviously, I've led big teams with the governor's race and different Senate races, but she just was the most amazing person to be around, so willing to learn. And by the time, you know, we got down to the wire, she was just an incredible operations director and kept everything flowing for us in a way that I could never have done without her. Robert Cruz and Nathan Voss, they were my account managers for different races on the stretch, and we're just fantastic. They're gifted riders and communicators and leaders. And oftentimes when morale would be down on a race, we'd send them in to keep the team up, and they were just wonderful to work with. And my brother, obviously, Bo Shore and Braden Hofer, they were the media team. We did all of our own ads, which I don't think people realize it's actually very difficult to do that many ads for that many clients. And Maisie Christensen's trying to call me. She tried to call me 3 times. I'm going to have to tell her to call me back here. I might have to send her a text message because she's not taking no for an answer. That's call number 3. But anyway, so all that to say, if one of you guys could text her and tell her that I'm being interviewed right now, that would be good, because I don't think she's going to stop calling.
Well, we probably should just bring Maisie on to the call. But I would say, Lisa, you're the one who had originally met Marcy. And I want to say about what Marcy, my husband always called her the face of MoMav, because that's the name of Sophie's company, Missouri Mavericks, MoMav Strategies. And he called Marcy the face of MoMav, because every time you saw Marcy, she was smiling. She was positive. I'm sure there were days she wanted to cry and the stress was tremendous, but she never, ever let that show. And so I think her faith in God and her just constant uptick of a personality is, she's just such an asset. I mean, I've been around 20 somethings all summer. And so just to watch them, but you recognized her talent. You're the first one that met Marcy. So what are your thoughts about that? I mean, Marcy, you have something good to say about her, because you saw it first and you made that introduction.
Yeah, I did. And I love when God does this. Each one of us have gifts that God has instilled in us. And when we use them, instead of them getting buried, and just watch the success that comes out the other side. And that's definitely what Marcy was. Competitive, and she had this sweet energy about her that is very magnetic. So I'd say she's magnetic, and that part of Jesus, like, it just shines through her eyes.
Yep.
And we need people that are the true believers, that are the true Christ followers, that are engaged to do this, because they really do believe, and they believe that God can move mountains. Yep. And we need God to move mountains in these spheres right now. So Sophie is a mountain mover, and Marcy is one of those that's coming right alongside, as is Amanda.
Yeah, no, that's just, so we've got the young great women. I mean, young women, it's encouraging, mm-hmm. because, you know, just leaning in to God. And I remember there were days I would just say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I would just keep speaking that. You know, that was my mantra, is that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And looking at the Lori Rook Curtis Trent race, I saw so many comments that were, you know what? I used to like Curtis Trent, but all the garbage that he's sending out on Lori Rook, I'm voting for Lori Rook. I had people that called me from Republic and Willard and Springfield, because I'm kind of from that area. And they're like, okay, what's the scoop on Lori Rook? Because with all the hate mail, she must be good. And so people were turning their like church congregations and their small groups. And it was, he helped actually turn people to Lori, because his campaign was so nasty, just so vile, that people started to recognize, man, somebody with a lot of money really doesn't want Lori Rook in there. And that's probably why I should vote for her. So it really backfired, I feel. What are your thoughts on that? Sophie?
Sophie or me?
Either. I don't even know where Sophie's at now. Like, people say they...
I'm still here. But really quick, though, I just want to say, I didn't really get to talk about my video guys before we just move on.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about all of them. Braden, we're going to talk about all of them.
Yeah, they were so hard. I mean, when I say that my team, it would be Saturday at midnight, and we would be editing different videos, coming up with different concepts. They worked so hard the whole cycle. And so I just wanted to make sure they get adequate praise. But really, I mean, I will just say about all of my people that we just had the juice. They're very remarkable people that were willing to buy in, and they're people that came from different backgrounds, and we just became a political family. And so aside from the races, that was one of the greatest joys of my life the last 3 months, and just my life in general, is getting to build these organizations that have people that, you know, are mission aligned, that care about like just company culture. Our big things were, every day you can control your attitude, your energy, your effort, your faithfulness, and how much fun you're having. And so we tried to do that every day the best we did. We weren't always perfect, right? But I do think that was huge in our ability to pull off four very significant race three on Tuesday. And then, you know, Jim Avery, I also just want to say, for people who don't know Jim Avery, he was ridiculously generous towards our candidates, and I think total poured maybe almost just shy of $400,000 into a lot of these races. And that's just a really rare quality in politics. You see a lot of people who get elected and then they hoard all of their donations or their ability to raise money for a future political office. And with Jim doesn't have any future ambition. He just really wants the Senate to be a place that works for the everyday Missourian, and to defend them against these like woke corporations that are running the state into the ground. And that was a campaign message for Lori. That was a campaign message for a lot of our clients. And that's what we want to do. So just wanted to adequately give credit where credit was due on that. But regarding Curtis Trent and the race with Lori, I mean, I think really Curtis had five different messages. Their team had five different negative messages on Lori. They were sending out AI images. They were sending any kind of photo they could find from whether it was past Halloween costumes or whatever, and just made the race deeply personal in a way that I think voters also rejected, because it was just grotesque and over the top. And I will say we did focus on his voting record, aside from the one picture of him when he fell asleep at 3:51 p.m. in the Senate. We really did try to refrain from personal attacks and make it about just who he'd become as a senator. And I think that voters obviously were responsive to that.
Well, I don't think that was inappropriate, because, again, he's not doing his job when he's asleep on the Senate floor at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, I mean, that kind of gives a glimpse into who he was or who he had become. My personal thing with Curtis Trent was, I'm just such a fan of Mike Moon. I am a fan of just his sincerity, just how careful and intentionally he wants to make dialogue and tries to do the right thing and wants to have debate on the floor. And so listening the last day of session, and this has happened many times, but just how incredibly rude and disparaging, condescending he was to a fellow senator just made me sick. And I just wish the whole state of Missouri could hear how he would talk to another senator. And I just knew he did not deserve to be there any longer if that is how he chose to respond, especially someone like Mike Moon. So I think that the picture was appropriate personally, but I'm your mom. And, you know, so I would agree with sending that out, because some of the things they sent out on Lori, they had too much money, and somebody was getting rich on postcards and, you know what, creating postcards. And it was just like the more they could put out, somebody in the back channel was getting rich on all that. And really not doing Curtis Trent a favor, because it was too much was too much. So, Laura, what do you think, Lisa? I mean, do you think it backfired, or do you think we're going to see more and more of the same?
I do think it backfired. And back to Curtis Trent and the specifics on what happened that day with Mike Moon, just to paint that picture a little bit more.
when they were on the Senate floor and they were debating policy, Mike Moon did not agree with some of that policy that they were trying to shove in at the last moment. And Curtis Trent was really belittling Mike Moon on the floor. It was beyond bullying. It was really belittling, that making him feel as small as possible. And everyone knows that Mike Moon, his word is everything to him. And so once he's given his word, he's going to stick to his word. Well, Curtis Trent was having a conversation and he said, "Oh, well, you gave your word on this. Are you going to go back on your word?" Bullying him really on the floor. And he said, "Well, no, I mean, I gave my word, but if you continue down this road, I may think about it." He goes, "Oh, so you are going to go back on your word then? Is that what you're saying? You are going to go back on your word?" It's just, people don't understand how juvenile this has become, and to the extent, and this is really why we need the cameras in there at all times, so that people can see after they've been at work all day to pay their taxes, what these guys are doing to them, like how childish they're acting and the important issues that are before them. And this is the way that they act.
Absolutely. I do want to talk about the rest of your team. I want to talk about Nate and Rob, because I hope they're listening, and how much I enjoyed them, being around them. I know things got intense, but they had incredible energy and were so optimistic and funny. I mean, they had everyone laughing all the time, and there were times I know it got intense. But do you want to say a little something about Nate and Rob? They're young. They're like 20 years old. And just to see again.
I mentioned them earlier.
Yeah, their patriotism.
I mentioned Nate and Rob earlier. Yeah. But they, you know, I think it's really important to have young men in politics that are like the guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, we need more young guys who are very masculine, who are tough, who, you know, like, I think politics sometimes is just like too much revenge of the nerds all the time. Like, it's kind of like the, you know, and you need more guys in politics like Nate and Rob, who
are the dudes,
are the guys,
yeah,
and who have confidence and who aren't trying to be, who aren't leeches, who are visionaries. And that's what they were. I feel so blessed to have worked with them this summer. I feel so blessed they're going to continue to be part of our team. Rob's actually from Indiana, and I met him working some Indiana stuff. And so he's moving home. He's taking a job with Turning Point. But Rob is definitely not out of the MoMAD family. He will be a family member forever. We are so excited to see what he continues to accomplish. And definitely there's going to be some crossover for Rob in the future with MoMAD strategy. So adore them. Think the world of them. Could not have done it without them. They, again, were my account managers, so they were checking in with the clients regularly. And just the best of the best. So super grateful that they came and worked for us this summer, and just excited to see what we'll be able to accomplish in the future.
Yeah, I think they were just impressive. Like you said, they were real guys. Like, they're going to be men of the Republican Party who believe in our country. And they didn't just say it. Like, they would talk about that when nobody was listening. Just believing in what our country should be, and fighting against this whole idea that money over people, that, you know, whoever gives the most campaign contributions, they fought against that idea and really fought for the founders. And again, I think Charlie Kirk, I go back to that a lot. I don't know that I realized what an impact he had made on even my own kids, like you guys and Rob and Nate. You know, the message stuck, and we need visionaries to carry that same message. And that is what I took away from the two of them. So pretty phenomenal. I look at, you know, what Bo, they did with the video and just the commitment. And then we would have conversations as he got to see the candidates up close and personal, and just understanding how important this whole mission was. So it was way more than just races. It's an effort to keep our country free and our state moving forward in a new and better direction. So they were great. What do you think, Sophie, like going forward? I have to bring this up because this happened yesterday. So the whole idea of the HRCC, the House Republican Campaign Committee, within 2 days, they whisked all of the new state reps, or could be state reps because they got to go through the general, to Branson to do a, quote, private event with major lobbyists, major PACs like Ameren, you've got Meta, you have Rex Singfeld, that it was really what they call the speed dating with the lobbyist of the new rep, so they can understand who their, you know, I don't know how you say it, but, you know, who is going to be the people they listen to the most. How do you feel about that kind of thing? Is that an important thing that they should go to where the public's not invited, or do you think that's a symptom of a much bigger problem in Missouri?
I think HRCC is a apparatus that exists to, you know, work for the general election, select more Republicans, and it's intingent, like, originally, but I do think that really what it's ended up as, just a lot of people, you know, you first get elected, and then they're going to tell you exactly how to think and what you should feel and how to operate within this body, if you will. It's kind of like the Missouri School Board Association or these different groups that really kind of undermine individualism, right? And they're all about teaching you how to operate in the collective. But listen, I think that my opinion on it is just, we just got to get better at organizing on our side and electing more of our people, right? I would eventually love to have a gathering. We will be actually hosting stuff for our senators that got elected. We'll be having Missouri Maverick clinics over the Senate rules and prepping them, you know, on how we believe that they should behave. And so my attitude towards it is, I think there's a lot of corruption there. I think there's a lot of problems, but I am more focused on building alternatives, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Oh, it does.
So that we can win and be more effective. And so I really don't spend a lot of time worried about that. I really do try to focus most of my time on figuring out, okay, like, how quickly can we scale and build these alternatives to this groupthink mentality. And I think ultimately what we've always seen, what I learned really early on, is that, you know, if you're able, and why I ultimately am doing the campaign business right now, it's not because it's the peaceful profession, is that if you can get somebody elected, right, without the machine, then, like, they're not beholden to the machine.
Right.
And they're free. And so, again, our main mission is, like, Missouri Mavericks is electing Mavericks who don't need the typical traditional establishment apparatus to get elected, who walk through fire, who go through, you know, the, oh my gosh, like, the governor endorsed them. And it's like, it doesn't matter. Go win. And who have lived through the lack of support that they received from the establishment, and they've had the ability to see very clearly who their friends are. And we're hoping to support those people with great staff who will be a help to them. So yeah, those are my thoughts. I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it. I just want to build more alternatives.
But I think it's just a great example. We have so many listeners that are learning, and that was very evident by the Amendment 5 vote. And I just think that we want to elect men and women that are free thinkers. We may not always agree. That's inevitable, right? And it should be inevitable that we're not always in total lockstep in agreement. There should be lively and vigorous debate. There should be the ability to disagree and still have the same cause and moving in the same direction. But unfortunately, it is the beatdown. If you don't vote collectively as a whole with the same vote, then you're not one of us. You're a socialist. I mean, we heard that with Amendment 5 repetitively. So Lisa, what are your thoughts about that? Like, shuffling off the brand new elected to a private event that's hosted by massive special interests, lobbyists, donors. What's your feeling about that?
Well, okay, let's start with, I think a lot of this even is deceptive from the start. Because if you talk to them like I have with the House members, they don't know that this isn't the formalities held by the Capitol itself, meaning the entity of government, that they're supposed to go in and find out, you know, they get their parking space, they kind of get their orders about how things are going to go in the building, how they're going to operate in that building. And I think from that perspective, they think that when you go to these things, they are an official, not some private organization that really is coming in to almost give you the beginnings of indoctrination to whatever policy that they want to push forward. And that's really what's happening. When you have the Googles of the world, when you have some of these consultants of the world, whatever it may be, they're there to push their agenda. And I say this a lot too, and Stacey and Sophie, you both know this, that everybody has an agenda. Like, I have an agenda, you have an agenda, mine is Christ-driven, right? Like, I want to see Christ reflected through everything. There's always an agenda that somebody is going to want to see, or even by default is promoting. But this is just very different. This isn't how, you know, how things are going to operate in the building and what doors you go through and how the meetings are going to look and take place. This is really, come meet the lobbyists that you should really be beholden to, and you know, let's see how these things work in that way and how you should move to that system. And it's from the start that they don't even understand there is a choice. And we've said this about speaker, even about choosing the Speaker of the House. They don't really know that there is a choice. They're told when they come in, this has already been done before you got here. And so you just come in and you vote yes, like we already did this for you. And they're so caught up in the newness of it all, I don't think they even really believe there is a choice. So it's things like that that I think it's, again, that I feel like I'm pushing back against is the deceptive nature of how everything is being done, whether it's policy or even these meetings.
No, I agree. And I think that I messaged a couple of state reps yesterday and said, are you there? Like, absolutely not. You know, like they were offended I would even ask. But again, the new reps, like you said, don't even know that House Republican Campaign Committee sounds super official. Well, it's not. It's private. And so anyway, all that to be said, just shifting to Amendment 5, you know, we worked really hard and we took a ton of abuse from the establishment for being Republicans against what they called the elimination and reduction of the income tax in Missouri. We knew it was something way more nefarious, far bigger, that asked for us to trust the legislature for 5 years to decide what's good for us. And were you surprised, both of you? I'll take you first, Lisa. Were you surprised the margin at which it went down? Were you surprised, or did you kind of feel it? Because we'd been traveling, we had the pulse of the people in the weeks coming up to the election. But were you surprised, or did you see that coming?
No, I was surprised. So I heard you earlier say that you were not surprised, but I was surprised. I was surprised by that margin. I expected that there would be more support just from the establishment alone, and that those numbers would be higher than they were. I figured it would be about a 70-30.
Yeah, it
was a shocking
to me. So it was 83-17, 83% of Missourians said no. And so I think what people need to realize, there was so much rhetoric and so much abuse. I mean, how many names can people be called that were against Amendment 5? And not because we were against what it stood for or they said they stood for, but we were against the deception of how it read. We're against the political slop with the ballot candy being come and vote away the eliminate and reduce your income tax. Well, they could do that without your vote. It was all the other things in the legislation they could not do without your vote. And I just think that it was a referendum on this legislature, on our governor, on all of the officials. I mean, you had all of them. You had, you know, Holly and Schmidt. You had Eric Burleson. You had Bob Onder. You had Denny Hoskins. I mean, all of them endorsed. The only one I didn't see endorsed, Fitzpatrick endorsed, Vivek Malik endorsed. The only one that didn't was Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger. And he had put a post up on his Facebook page about 4 weeks earlier that said storm clouds over Missouri, talked about how since 2022, the same legislature who was trying to drive Amendment 5 down our throats had given $13 billion to special interests, lobbyists, and career politicians. That was a real wake-up call, I think, for a lot of people. because that took some courage to speak that truth. But I think it also established we can't trust these people. Like, we're going to give the keys to the kingdom to the same guys who just did that to us. We're facing a $2 billion deficit. We've just seen a downgrade in our rating with Moody's. And I just think that, you know, there's a lot going on there. Sophie, were you surprised that it went down as hard as it went down?
I mean, maybe like a month before I would have been surprised, but based off the response at the Doors the last week, I wasn't. I think everybody was surprised it went down by 80%. I think that's the most, that's a historic failure. But I think the bottom line, and I said this, you know, to The Independent, I give an interview that I think is going to be dropping any day as well, is, I mean, I think the two big lies were that this was an income tax cut, was the first, which actually the bill didn't talk about cutting the income tax. It was a basic, it was entirely a base expansion. Mm-hmm. And all of the guarantees of the income tax would be cut from this were stripped out in the Senate. And then the second one was, well, this is an effort to keep the base rate low. Well, that's all well and good, but there are two big problems with that. Number one, why did you not just make it impossible for exemptions to occur in the legislature? We all know the answer to that. It's because everybody who could afford a lobbyist and association would have hired one, and it would have been open season for the middle class ordinary taxpayer. You know, and the second thing is, if you wanted to keep the base rate low, then why didn't we put a sales tax cap out of the gate? And so there were just a lot of bad faith elements in this amendment that I think the people were able to see it through. And there's been a lack of trust in Jefferson City with how they spend our money. We're obviously heading into a $2 billion deficit. The COVID funds have gone away, and it's time to face the music. Yeah. And there are a lot of woke corporations and people that are benefiting off of the taxpayers' dime. And it has to stop. We should eliminate the income tax. That is something that we should do. But the way that they went about it was not the correct way to do it.
100%. I mean, and I think that's where there was, again, a referendum on the governor and this legislature. They have spent wildly. And the other thing I think was interesting that is a blow to Curtis Trent, and I hope he's listening, is when you take a piece of legislation so monumental, so important, and you substitute your version, which is what ended up being A5, to the Senate for the first time ever, at midnight, when the doors to the Capitol are locked, when everybody's asleep in Missouri, and you expect it to be perfected right then and there on the floor, when there many senators had never even seen it. That was really, I think, too, when people heard that Curtis Trent, that's what he did. He did not deserve their vote any longer. So getting that message out, I don't know how widespread it was, but I do believe that people are sick of those kind of games. We have no cameras in our Senate in Missouri. Hopefully the new senators can get that changed. We should be able to see what our senators do. We should be able to see if they walk a vote. We should be able to see what a standing division looks like. We are one of only two states in the United States of America that are where our Senate does not do any kind of live stream of committee hearings, because now, in some of those hearings, Lisa, you can attest to this, you may have one or two senators only listening to a crowd full of people that want to test on an issue that have driven all across the state, and they show up and maybe one or two sleepy senators are sitting in that committee hearing. That's been hard for you to watch, right?
Yeah, that's been hard to watch. And also they just call them in to have their exact vote, you know, to finalize things. So they'll come in whenever they're needed. And that just goes to show they're there. They just aren't there enough to care about being there to listen to the citizens. It's almost become an annoyance to them. And so it's do as little as possible so that we can check off the box to say that we listen to them. And that's a whole nother, you know, part of, we could talk about Amendment 4 at some point that I was supportive of. But, I mean, for the other side to say that with an unequal standard that it's okay because the legislature has all the checks and balances, that's laughable. I mean, there are really no checks and balances. All they're doing is checking off a box as if they've done it. And the spirit, you know, we talk about the spirit of the law, isn't really being adhered to.
That's right.
It's not really the spirit of it. It's just checking a box, like, we did it.
And we know that they do the video in the committee hearings. They do the video on the Senate floor. They just don't release it to the public, which is unacceptable. So, Sophie, I hope you can have a hand in encouraging senators to allow Missourians a seat at the table. It's super important, and I can't believe it hasn't been done before now. It's a true embarrassment to our state. So I think that's a very important priority, but I don't know that there's a whole lot more. I guess I want to see with you guys, where do you see us going from here? Like, I know that you're already getting calls, Sophie, because sometimes people don't know how to get a hold of you, so they get a hold of me, of people that want to run even in 4 years. So I know you're getting a lot of that. And I know, like, your voice, you're very tired. I mean, your voice is almost gone. It's hard. Doing what you've done is hard. And I know as your mom, it's hard, because how many times, you know, you had to miss something that the family did and you'd send me a message, I'm so sorry, I couldn't be there. You know, and I would say, just go win. I mean, there'd be other days where, you know, you have a question about something and I would just say, just go win. And I truly believe that that was the mantra. I mean, I just kept saying, just go win. And just to have the attitude that if God goes before you, who can be against you? You can have millions and millions and millions of dollars against you. But people, I think, are picking up on the truth, number one, and they want their state back. They want their country back. So going from here, what's your vision? Do you think this is a launch pad, or do you think we're going to get hit so much harder from special interests because this was a referendum on the governor and special interests with Amendment 5? Where do you think we go from here? Like, what happens now?
What happens? You know, I just am an optimist, and I believe that Missouri's best days are ahead. I think that we've been invited into this divine dance with the Almighty. And I think that he loves Missouri. And I am not really concerned. I'm sure, like, the special interests were organized, but, like, we're going to organize just as hard, if not harder, and, like, work harder than them. And it is very hard what we've done. But I always tell my team, you know, I made them watch Hacksaw Ridge, the movie, which if your listeners haven't watched that movie, they really should. But it is difficult. It is difficult to withstand the day-to-day beating of politics, but it's not like we were running into war, right? Like, we weren't storming the beaches of Normandy. And so I just believe that, like, out of the four people we got elected, I mean, and I'll say this again, like, Jim Avery is a very unique character, a very generous character. Lori Rook is a very successful attorney that is a gamer and is ready to throw down. And I think the Lord, just brick by brick, just keeps building this movement into something that's significant and withstand. And I ultimately just have peace knowing that whatever he wants to happen will happen. But, you know, we are invited to participate in that. And, like, what a remarkable thing that is. And I think, Lisa, we've talked about this, Mom, we've talked about this, but, you know, God doesn't need us to accomplish anything, but we get to partner with him in accomplishing these things. And if we don't do these things that he's called us to do, like, he will raise somebody else up to do it.
That's right.
And so I just believe that, yeah, and I was convicted, you know, after the governor's race with Bill Eigel, I wasn't like, I knew we'd run a good race, I had satisfaction in that, but I was down. And I just remember the Lord was like, do you think this is supposed to be easy? Do you think taking a state back, this is going to happen on your first try? Like, this is a 25-year project. And I think people give up way too easy and way too quickly. And what I don't remember who said this, which founding father, but it's what we gain too lightly, we esteem too cheaply. Or what we gain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. I think that's the quote. Right? If you don't have, like, the American Revolution and just the history of mankind, like, truly great things and empires and the church, like, anything significant has to go through the fire. And this idea that, like, it's supposed to be brutal. It's supposed to be hard because
the thing that we are fighting for, our state, these people, is so significant that there's real opposition to that, because you are fighting a war over the future. But Maisie Christensen, her husband Cole, always says this, and then that's, the future belongs to those who show up for it.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good quote, and I said it so much to myself, because, and I said this to Amanda Wiley so many times, you know, when people were like, don't go work for Lori, your career is going to be over, like, don't listen. And Amanda and I are super close, and she was always going to work for Lori. But I just told her, I said this all the time, the world is up for grabs. Like, these people that think the world is a closed off place, and the United States of America is a predetermined system, the world is up for grabs. And so, anyway, and to leave it, like the C.S. Lewis quote, he talks about every square inch of the universe is either claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan. And we're not perfect people. I'm a very imperfect person. I mean, we all know I can have a bad mouth on me, and you know, I can make mistakes, or we all make mistakes. But I do believe that we are in a war, and every single action that we take on a day-to-day basis is either bringing us closer to Christ or further away. And we're just really committed to trying to bring this state into closer alignment with the Lord. And like, we pray he finds favor with us. So that was long-winded, but I'm really hopeful about the future of the state. I really believe in this state and this mission. And I'm really grateful for you, Mom, and you, Lisa, and all that you've poured into me, and all the wise counsel you continue to give me and so many other young people. So anyway, thanks for having me on.
Well, we love you, Lisa.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be prouder of you, Sophie, and I see God's hand all over you, and what a great asset he's given the state of Missouri and you.
Well, I get love you guys. So
I get
much.
Emotional because, like you said, I look at Maisie and Cole. There's so many people, like so many 20-somethings and early 30-somethings I could name, but I think people become distressed at the direction of our state and our country because they think that it's a lost cause. Look at all these young people. You know, we see all these things on the news. But I see something different in all of you. And I am so encouraged and so grateful that you all have the courage to literally take a beating, because it's been a beating to have a different vision, to return and restore, you know, and move in a direction where we were supposed to take, but somewhere we took a different turn. And to see, again, 20-somethings, that's what I want people to hear when they hear this podcast, is that a bunch of 20-somethings with a vision for our state and our country, they work their butts off to put candidates forward that didn't have huge PACs or donors that invested millions and millions of dollars into something. But you guys picked the people who you really thought could make a difference. And you poured so much of yourselves into those races. And I just forever will be touched and moved by what you accomplished with God's help. So it has been an honor. You guys have anything else to say in closing? I just wanted you to come on, Sophie. I know you're exhausted. You've ran the race, but I want you, your favorite quote when you were younger, when you'd stand up in front of tea parties, and it was to prevail. Do you know which one I'm going to say? Sophie.
Remind me. Favorite quote or favorite Bible verse?
No, it's your favorite quote. It was to prevail. You don't have to have a majority. Do you want to take that?
Just a keen irate minority. Just an irate minority keen on setting brush fires in the hearts of men.
Yeah. So to prevail, the minority, I go back to the Revolutionary War. You know, 5%. It took 5% to believe, of ragtag soldiers, to have a vision that was inspired to change literally the course of history. And so I just am a believer also. I'm hopeful. And I just keep praying that the rest of Missouri catches on to that. And person by person, like Sam Alexander impressed me so much. He knocked every single door in his district. Every single door was knocked by real people, not paid people, but by Sam. Like, Sam worked his butt off.
Oh, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
I do also want to say that, like, there were, you know, obviously, like,
Dusty Blue, his team, Jim Gore. I mean, we were not successful in that, but they were remarkable. And then, like, there were a lot of people, you know, Sharon Miller, Jim Gore, Dusty's wife, Jenna, his precious son, Landon, you know, and Sam Alexander specifically, Melanie Chance was remarkable on the ground. And then, you know, you had different people involved, the Hardwicks campaign, like Lainey Elder, and just a lot of different folks that I didn't get a chance that we were talking and got off track. But I just want to say, like, for all those races, there were just so many remarkable people that we feel so grateful to have interacted with, and that really, like, they're who all the credit belongs to. So I just wanted to make sure to throw that in, yep, to say that, because we kind of got off track there. But before we close, I think that's just in closing. I want to make sure that people know how much was sacrificed by so many different people.
Absolutely. I look at Ike Skelton, who is my presiding commissioner, who made an effort and did an incredible job. And he ended up just shy of winning the Senate seat. But I think God's got huge plans for him. His vision for our state and our country is unparalleled. Like, he's the flock camera guy that wasn't afraid of the presiding commissioner when the state would not, when his county basically sent him a mandate to say, we didn't sign up for flock cameras, and we passed an ordinance in our county to make them illegal in the unincorporated areas. And he sent letters to the state and no one came to get them. He took it down himself. That takes raw courage to do that. And that those are the kind of leaders that we need. So hopefully Ike will find a place, take a rest, and he'll come back guns a-blazing, because the state needs Ike Skeltons of the world, for sure. He's an inspiration to many, and I just can't say enough good about him as well. So
no, Ike is amazing, and again, was outspent, like, no one, and Mizzy and Kelsey, and there are a lot of people that volunteered there too. But yeah, I don't think Ike Skelton's done either.
No, I don't think so. Big things are still ahead for Ike. So I just pray over all of these people. Lisa, as we end the show today, will you just close us in prayer, and just a prayer of gratitude? Because I'm too emotional, because I'm so grateful. And that was that song we listened to. I'll put it in the Substack. But just thank you, God. Just thank you for the friendships, for the alliances, for some of your best friends come from the hardest fought battles, and I feel that way. But would you just close us today in a prayer, and we will catch you guys next time, because when she says amen, we're going to head off. But thank you guys so much for listening. Lisa, close us.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for giving us the opportunity to even partner with you, Lord God. I thank you that you've set these people in their place, Lord. It says that you are the one that does that, and you set them in the places of authority. So we thank you that you have set them. Lord God, I'm sorry for the losses, but I know that your hand is over them. And I pray that you would meet them in this place now, and you would only make them stronger, Lord, so that they can help serve the state and the country going forward. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for every good and perfect gift that you placed into each one of these kids that you have gotten involved, Lord God, and that you would just continue to exalt them to higher places while they show, Lord, their faithfulness to you. Lord God, we honor you and we praise you for everything that you've already done and what you're getting ready to do. And we lift all this up in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.